That didn't have a talk then. Don't think I could do it without notes, particularly this week, because my mind's a little bit all over the place, as you can probably imagine, really. It's so great to see so many of you. I kind of hope you're here for our last week to say bye rather than to make sure we leave. But, you know, whatever it is, just make it look like that and we'll all leave happy and we'll be okay. I didn't recognise my husband when he came and he got a suit on. And, you know, so if you don't remember, that's Alistair, yeah. But you may not recognise him. I haven't had to iron a shirt for ages because he's been working from home and it's great. So, yeah, I might not bother with that one. We'll see. So last week I spoke and I took a theme which I called Final Words. And rather ironically, this week it's called Final Works 2. So they obviously weren't really the final words at all. But basically, I was thinking about this idea of the final words that someone says to you, or sometimes when they're passing on, they're dying. But, you know, the final words people say tend to be, these are the things that I really, really want you to remember. And I looked at some of the final words that Paul said at the end of each of his letters, and I settled on 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12 to 28. And I'm going to read them. We read them last week, but we'll read them again today, because these are things that I felt when I read, I thought, yeah, these are some of the things that I want to kind of leave with Oasis as we move forward and as you move forward as well. So 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12 says, "Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure no one pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good and reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss," in brackets, COVID version. You have to wait for that bit. "I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." So I picked out six themes from these verses, and last week we looked at the first three. It's a bit of a quick run through. You could go on for ages talking about these, but if you missed last week's, you can catch up on YouTube as ever. So the first one was acknowledging your leaders. Hold the leaders of the church in high esteem, and even the imperfect ones, and pray for them and encourage them. Number two was help those who haven't quite got things right, but do it in the right way. Remove the plank from your eye before removing the speck from theirs. And number three was be good to everyone, always. Don't take revenge, forgive, move forward. Remember the mustard-filled donuts, if you were here? If you're going, mustard-filled donuts, you need to catch up on YouTube. So this week I want to move on and look at three more parts from this passage. The first one is praying grateful prayers. The next one, letting the Holy Spirit do his work. And finally, God's grace is with you. So what about praying grateful prayers? So Paul says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always. Are you the sort of person that if you meet someone who's always positive, they're always upbeat, they're always optimistic, and they're like get in your face and say, rejoice, and you just want to bop them on the nose? Because you're like, I don't actually feel like rejoicing at the moment. Maybe life is actually genuinely tough and I don't have much to rejoice about. And when you read these verses, it can make you think that Paul is one of those annoying people who's in your face going, rejoice, No matter whether you feel like it, rejoice. But actually, you know, it reads more like a greeting. Part of the origin of the word is that it is more of a greeting than a command. So it's a little bit like the first or last thing you might say to someone would be, rejoice or be glad. Or we would say, I wish you well. I wish you were happy all the time. I wish you gladness. And it's more than just a wish, because it's wishing in God, if you know, which isn't really a thing. But you know what I mean? It's saying, in God, I want the best for you. I want joy for you. I want gladness for you. I wish you well. And another key thing about this is it's something that's being passed from one person to another. So when you read rejoice always and happiness seems elusive to you in your life, Paul's really saying, look, you know, I wish you well. I wish you gladness. I want you to pass this on to one another. And in our lives, sharing lives together as we do as church, one of the benefits of our community has to be this idea of passing some joy and some gladness around from one person to another. You know, some of the saddest times that I've had when I've been here has obviously been when we've lost people that we love. You know, I'm thinking about Sue, and I've thought about Steve, and I've thought about Les Carr, and I'm going to miss somebody, aren't I? I'm so terrible, shouldn't have done that. But people that we've lost, Paul Desmond, you know, and I've thought this week about those people, and I've thought about them with gladness, partly because I know they're in heaven now and they're rejoicing. I thought about going into past Costa in the town, and I don't know how they're still going without Les, really, because if you ever wanted to meet Les, you just walk past Costa and there he'd be. But, you know, even in those darkest, saddest times that we've had and shared together over these last 3 or 4 years, and there was others before me and will be in the future, but there's a sense where we've been able to not be in your face and say, well, be happy anyway, but a sense that we've been able to pass some joy and some gladness around and remind each other. And when I'm down, someone else is up and we can help each other. And that's been such a great thing. And I really wanted at this point to illustrate this, because I've been reminded by a few people this week about the duck sermon. And people remember that when there's something to visual. And I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll get a beach ball and I'll write the word joy on it and I'll throw it out, and you can all sort of pass it around and have that image in your mind of like us rejoicing together, passing joy, spreading joy together. And then I remembered COVID, and spreading isn't a good thing, is it? So I want you to just imagine that in your head, that we had this ball and we threw it, and, you know, it's got to be imaginary, unfortunately. There you go. Sandra's got it. She's doing it. She's doing it. And you at home, you know. But imagine that and leave with that thought that we are here to help one another to rejoice and to be glad in the Lord. I'm going to pass that on. Spread some joy. Then he says, pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances. No matter what happens, never ever give up on prayer. Paul wants his church to remember, I want you to remember, never give up on prayer. Sometimes, you know, we think we've been praying a long time. There's some things in my life I've been praying a long time for. And there are days when I'm like, God, how much longer are you going to have to listen to the same prayer for this same person? That must sound like the one I prayed yesterday and the day before and 3 weeks ago. But God says, keep praying. Paul says, pray continually. Don't give up on prayer. I know this church won't give up on prayer, but sometimes as individuals we can, you know, we can lose that sense. We've talked about prayer quite a lot in the last few months. Even if you feel like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling, don't give up. Because prayer is our hotline to God. It's the communication through which we have relationship with him. And it's the means by which God chosen to act. God acts in response to our prayers. He's not just out there all sort of separate to us and doing his own thing. You know, he acts in response to our prayers. James 5:16 says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So are you a righteous person today? Well, no one's put their hands up, but I didn't ask you to be fair. But you know, if you are in God, if you are in Christ, you are a righteous person, and that makes your prayer powerful and effective. Even if it doesn't feel like it, that's feelings. The word of God says your prayer is powerful and effective. So keep praying them. Keep praying them. And we've looked a lot at prayer, as I say, but he says, you know, pray grateful prayers. Give thanks in all circumstances. He didn't say give thanks for all circumstances, because that would be weird. You know, when things go really, really horribly wrong, you know, we don't have to thank God for that, but we thank God in it. Why? Because we can bring the things that are troubling us to God. The things that are causing us pain, we bring to God. You know, Paul elsewhere in Philippians encourages the church, bring your requests to God. But we bring them with an attitude of gratitude and from that posture. I wonder if you're a glass half full or a glass half empty person. You know, that little thing, are you glass half full or are you glass half empty? And you know someone going, well, they're a bit glass half empty. And I looked this up for some reason, and there's some really weird stuff. Some smarty pants has put, actually, you know what? Everyone's glass is full. It's half full of air and half full of water. But it's still full, which is a bit like, yeah. And there's another annoyingly positive person that says, you know what? It doesn't matter if your glass is half full or half empty. What matters is the glass is refillable. And you're a bit like, yeah, let's leave that. But you know, giving thanks in all circumstances is not about, well, you've got to be an optimist or you've got to be a positive person. Some people are naturally more optimistic or more positive than others. But what giving thanks in all circumstances does, it requires you to be someone who chooses gratitude over ingratitude. So you can be a little bit pessimistic. You might see the worst things sometimes. But how are you taking your mind and going, hang on a minute, you know, what are the positive things here? What are the things I can be grateful for? And making that choice doesn't mean you've got to be a complete optimist. You might not be. You might not be wired that way. But you can make that choice. Because you know what? You'll always find what you're looking for. Unless it's your keys and your mobile phone, in which case sometimes you don't find what you're looking for. But if you're looking for God's blessing, you will find God's blessing. You will see God's blessing in those things. If you believe that God is good, if you believe that his goodness is running after you, as we've sung today, if you believe you're a beloved child of God and he wants to bless you, you will see his blessing in your life, even at times when things aren't very nice or very good. If you believe that God is uncaring and he's distant, and he's more likely to be angry with you, then you'll be really struggle to see his blessing, even if it's there. You will see what you're looking for. And giving thanks in all circumstances is about our perspective of God and who he is. I remember one New Year making a bit of a like, God, I'm going to try and be a really much more grateful person this year. And I think we were up to at least the 3rd of January and something. I heard some information from someone that was really not very nice. It was quite troubling and it went on for quite a long time. And I was sitting in my car at the time and I'm thinking, oh. And God said, so what are you going to be grateful for? And I'm like, oh yeah. But there was things to be grateful for even in that bad news. There was. And one of my favourite verses is Psalm 50 verse 23. And it says this in one of the versions. He who sacrifices thanks offerings honours me. And he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. There are times when grateful prayers are a sacrifice. It says, he who sacrifices thanks offerings. If everything's going really, really, really well in your life and you have no problems whatsoever, then actually to give an offering of thanks to God isn't a sacrifice. Still should do it, you know. And if that's your case, then hallelujah, give thanks to God. But it's not a sacrifice as such, because it's easy to be thankful when everything's going really well. But if things are really, really tough, being grateful to God is a sacrifice. But this verse says that when you make that sacrifice, you honour me and you prepare the way for me to show you salvation. It's almost like when we offer thanksgiving and prayers of thanks, we prepare a way. It's like we build a runway, if you like, that God's blessing can land and take off from. You know, flying is a great experience from what I remember. Haven't done it for a while, have we, unfortunately? But to be able, you know, if you've ever flown, I would guess most people have, and to be able to look down at the clouds and the world below gives a completely different perspective of the world we live in. And yet flying is only possible with a runway to land and take off from. And praying prayers of gratitude at all times build something in us that enables God to bring his blessing. If you want to soar high with God, if you want to see things from his perspective, if you want to look down and see what he sees, then you need to build that runway of gratitude and thanksgiving. So next, Paul goes on and says, let the Holy Spirit do his work. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good and reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. Do not quench or extinguish or put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. In Paul's letter to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1:6, he says, fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. And you know, flames need three things in order to make them flames. They need something to burn or fuel. They need oxygen for the chemical reaction. Don't ask me any more about that because I don't know. But it's a chemical reaction and it needs oxygen. And it needs heat. And if you've ever done a fire extinguisher course, you'll know that, you know, it all works on trying to remove one out of those three. Because if you move one of the three, if you've got nothing to burn, you can have as much heat and oxygen as you like, it won't burn. If you have something to burn and it's hot but there's no oxygen, you get the picture. And it's about removing one of those three. And if we're likening the power of the Spirit to a fire, then you are the fuel. You are the thing that needs to burn brightly in a dark world. So if you want to keep burning, don't quench the Spirit by taking yourself off the altar of sacrifice. Don't live for you, live your life for him. Be that fuel on the fire. And feed that fuel, that flame, with oxygen. I can honestly say that one of the reasons that I've been able to do what I do is through the amazing support of my husband. And I've worked in church for actually a very long time, although I've only been a pastor for six years now, something like that, I don't know. But I've actually worked in church and before that led worship since hundreds of years ago. And one of the reasons that I was able to do it is because my husband, bless him, managed back in the day and still does sort of, to make a nice roast dinner for after church and also back in the day get three young children single-handedly to church while I just went down early to rehearse for the worship team. So how blessed was I for all those years? All those mothers that have struggled on, and fathers, you know, getting their little kids down to church. You know, I didn't do any of that. I missed it. How cool is that? But you know, this one day, and I'll be really honest, I haven't told him I'm going to tell this story, so I could be in trouble. But there was one day when in his rush to try and get three kids out and into the car, he left a pan of potatoes boiling on the hob. And, of course, eventually the water all burnt away and it got a bit hot and there was plenty of oxygen and there was some nice potatoes as fuel. And we're pretty sure that it actually set alight on the hob while we were at church singing hallelujah. But fortunately, what seemed to have happened is that the pan lid was kind of half on, and I think probably as it perhaps burst into flames, it shut the lid of the pan, cutting off the oxygen. Whew, hallelujah. And the fire went out. So when we got home, all we had to deal with was a pan of ash and a really, really, really nasty smell. That actually did involve redecorating the kitchen, but it was only to get rid of the smell. And I don't say that to have a go at Al, you know, in any way, because like I say, he was doing a brilliant job. But you know, it's the word of God that is the oxygen that keeps the flames alight. And how quickly, you know how quickly a flame goes out when you deprive it of oxygen. Thankfully, in the case of the potatoes. And how quickly does our flame fade and go out when we stop engaging with the Word of God? And over the last sort of 15 months, I've been sending out some daily devotions, as you know, and they've now come to an end. And I know lots of you have your own devotions, and that's absolutely great. It's not been compulsory by any means. But, you know, make sure that you keep engaging. If you have been doing my devotions the last 15 months, you know, find something else. There's plenty out there. Keep engaging with the Word of God. And the heat for that flame comes from the proximity of other believers who are on fire too. So we have a responsibility to keep our flames alight because of other people, because that helps them, that keeps their flames. We also have an obligation to keep together so that our flames burn bright together and no one goes cold around the edges, so to speak. Stay close. Don't miss out on meeting together with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Burn together and keep the flame of the Holy Spirit burning brightly among you. We hope very soon that lockdown restrictions will lift and you'll be able to put some extra chairs in the gaps. Won't that feel weird? You know, and some of you are at home today will be able to come to church more easily. And, you know, online church has been great and will be great. It's a great way of reaching people who would never want to come into this building. And that will continue, as far as I'm aware anyway. It will continue. And for some of you with physical issues, you know, coming to church might be difficult. And it's a really, really good resource. And we're really grateful to God for what he's done in that over these last sort of 15 months. But, you know, there can be a temptation sometimes in the morning when, particularly in the winter when it's cold, it's wet or there's ice on the car. And, you know, maybe you've had a late night the night before to think, oh, you know what? I'll just slop downstairs in my pyjamas and my cup of coffee and turn the telly on. And that's okay, you know, nobody's judging anybody. But don't get into the habit of missing meeting together. And online has been a meeting together as best as we've been able to do. But, you know, when the better thing becomes available, you know, choose the better thing when you can, because it's important to keep everyone's flame together. And then Paul goes on to say, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through, whole spirit, body and soul, kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. Paul talks about being sanctified, which means becoming more like Jesus, basically. And I can't stress enough that this is also the work of the Holy Spirit. He'd mentioned prophecy, and this was to deal with a particular issue in that church at the time, and I'm not going to say too much about that today. But, you know, we can think, can't we? We can get into this idea of, well, we've got the gifts of the Spirit, and they're kind of the supernatural things that God does, and prophecy and miracles, and that's the exciting stuff. And the fruit of the Spirit that we've just spent the last few weeks looking at as a church, that's more kind of normal and natural. Actually, it's all a work of the Holy Spirit. Changing you into a more patient person or a more kind person or giving you a gift of prophecy, all of that is equally the work of the Holy Spirit. Paul reminds us, doesn't he, in Corinthians, that we can prophesy all we like, but if we don't have love, we're just noisy. And the growth of the fruit of the Spirit in your life is a supernatural work in exactly the same way as if you prophesy or have a word of knowledge or see a miracle. It's not either or. It's not, I'll have the fruit of the Spirit because that's nice. I'll be a nicer person, but I don't really want the gifts because they can be a bit weird sometimes. Or it's like, I want the power, but I don't want to change on the inside. The work of the Spirit has got to be both, and it can take place at all times. The gifts and fruit of the Spirit aren't given so that we can have a really nice time on a Sunday morning. They're given so that you can lead a powerful Christian life every day. And quenching the Spirit is not what happens when the worship leader doesn't sing the song through enough times. I've had that as a worship leader. Should have sung that another few times. You've quenched the Holy Spirit. No. Or maybe, you know, the service ends after an hour and you're like, the pastor should have stretched that to two. We didn't give room for the Spirit. We've quenched the Spirit. You know, quenching the Spirit is losing the flame because we've taken ourselves off the altar. or we've stopped reading the word, or we've removed ourselves from fellowship. That's quenching the spirit. I don't think God minds too much if we sing a song five times or six, really. Quenching the spirit is about letting the flame die. And that would be what I would want to say to you. Don't let the flame die. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Allow him to do his work. Pray grateful prayers. Don't quench the spirit. But finally, again, God's grace is with you. Paul simply says at the end, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. It's a simple reminder. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is your Lord if you've asked him to be. Only by his grace that we are who we are and can do what we do. But his grace is in us and in you, and it is sufficient. We have all we need. You know, when I'm looking forward to where we're going, there's a bit of me that's excited and a bit of me that's like, oh, what have I done? I know, I mean, having Jamie here this morning, I'm thinking, he's not heard me preach or lead worship before. I mean, he might walk out and he might go, change my mind. We've changed our mind or something. You know, there's a bit of, you know, what have we done? Where are we going? What's going to happen? But we know that God's grace is sufficient for us. And maybe for some of you, you might be like, hallelujah, she's gone. But some of you might be like, what are we going to do? It's going to be a bit of a hole. There's a few things Rachel did. We're going to do them now. But, you know, God's grace and his mercy and his love is sufficient for us and is sufficient for you. And he will be with you all. We have all we need as we move on to Wheelie Castle. You have all you need as you continue to build the kingdom of God here in Redditch. So remember these final words, people. Hold your leaders in high esteem. Help those who are struggling. Be good to everyone always. Pray grateful prayers. Let the Holy Spirit do his work. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with you. Amen.
Time has come for us to face the final curtain. Al, Rach, come and join us. You pass me the bag. Thank you.
This is Al in the suit.
Yeah, round of applause. Whoa. Whoa.
I'll be honest, after lockdown, I'm surprised it still fits. Sorry. Well, that's awful. I do apologise.
Can I just say how handsome you are and how fortunate Rachel is to have you, Al?
I model myself.
I know. I've taught you well. Al, I don't know whether you remember, but you and I went for a walk when Rachel was just about to start. We went up to the Lickies. Do you remember that?
Yep.
And we had a glorious day. And your poor dog kept stopping walking on the way back because we kept walking and talking, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
And poor dog on the way back. He slept, didn't he, for a week or something. But, you know, on that conversation, when we talked quite openly about what it'd be like being married to a female pastor and how that would work with you, and you really blessed me with our conversation, Al. In fact, over the years, I have to say, you've really blessed me with our conversations. You've been a great encouragement to me personally. You've been a great encouragement to these men. And I know you said when you first came, don't ask me to do anything. I'm not an upfront person. And after about two or three weeks, I asked you to do something. You did really well. So I just want to thank you, Al, for your amazing friendship. You are a very consistent guy. You've been a great husband and great support to Rachel. And I've seen how you've done that here and helped Rachel do the things that she needs to do. So I want to thank you for allowing, you know, doing that and for supporting Rachel. So she's been such a great assistant minister to us. So sterling job, both of you, doing a sterling job. You're very consistent, you're very faithful, you're a good friend. And I was saying to Esther on holiday, we're going to miss you. I'm going to miss you as a friend, being here. So that's one of the things I wanted to say. Both of you have been servant-hearted. You've shown and modeled servant heart. You haven't just asked people to be servant heart. You've both modeled that. You've made sacrifices. I've seen the sacrifices you've made. A lot of people in this church haven't, but I have. I've seen those. You've been faithful and you're generous. And Rachel, as a senior pastor, no senior pastor could ask for a better assistant. You've done a sterling job, fantastic job. We've never argued once. We've never fell out once. We know we had one. It lasted, how long have you been here? 4 years. No, we haven't. I don't think we have. We've always got on really well. You did a really great job when I was ill. So I'd like you as a church to give them a round of applause, please. If you're at home, give them a round of applause. That's great. So Willie Castle, if you're watching, and Jamie, you are going to be truly blessed with this couple. We are sending you with our love, knowing that they will be a blessing to you. Your church will be a much better place because you have them today. And so, Willie Castle, we bless you. It's going to be some big shoes to fill, we know. It's going to be really difficult to fill your shoes. But Willie Castle, you'll be blessed. Our loss, your gain. Do you want to say anything before I open mic, give an open mic, and let, or do you want to reserve your speech?
You know, of all the preparation for this morning, Robin saying, "Do you want to say anything?" That's something I've actually thought about. Which is really remiss of me. I think we'll say something now, because if people say stuff, I might get a bit like. So yeah, I mean it. It's in some ways 4 years, nearly, it's been 4 years in August, so it's not quite 4 years, but it's felt very quick. In other ways, it's felt like quite a long time. It's quite strange. We've got to know so many people who we really will genuinely miss so much. And we just want to just thank you. I mean, that sounds a bit of a pathetic word, isn't it, just to say thank you. But, you know, that's our gratitude. To you, you know, please hear that genuinely. I think when we came here, we'd come out of quite difficult circumstances, and it was nice to be here. It was like fresh air. It was a place of healing, and it's just been, has been an honour to serve you all, really, and to get to know you all. And yeah, genuinely, I was thinking tomorrow I'll be like, I don't actually belong to a church for 3 weeks, because we've got a little gap, and that's quite a weird thing, you know, but we do. We belong to the body of Christ, and we all do, and we're part of you in that sense, and always will remain so. And yeah. Do you want to say anything?
Do I want to say something? Thanks for the kind words, Robin. Really appreciate that.